let's marinate on the success that we had last week in East Lansing. Boy, didn't it feel good. Come out of there with a win, dominate their offense, dominate their defense. I mean, they came in thinking that they were the number one rush defense in the country. We run for 183 yards. It was a special performance for four quarters and well-deserved by this Michigan football team. We'll have more of this and a quick look ahead to the bye week, Penn State, coming up on In the Trenches.
Let's go In the Trenches with John Jansen. The former Wolverines captain and Michigan Sports Hall of Famer will take you inside the locker room with players and coaches.
Just a testament to our work as an offensive line and as a unit and team.
You can always find something to improve. You're never perfect.
Being the number five team in the country, you know, it brings its pressure. You know, it brings its, you know, its warranted pressure, of course. But, you know, we're just going to keep attacking each day.
Michigan's football team right now, they see the opportunity that they have.
Once again, here's John Jansen.
We're going to cover Michigan State. We're going to cover Penn State. We're going to cover our bye week. We'll talk briefly about Rutgers, Indiana, and Ohio, the rest of the schedule coming up because we have that time this week on our improvement week, as Coach Harbaugh puts it. But before we get there, do you want to simplify game day at Michigan this fall? The Tailgate Guys can help by providing reserved tailgate packages conveniently located on historic Ferry Field, steps away from the Big House. Tailgate Guys affordable packages include tents, chairs, coolers, ice, catering, and dish media options. Tailgate better this season. To reserve your spot, call 734-680-5170 or log on to tailgateguys.com. Brian, I was told earlier today that you recently bowled a 300. Is that true?
Yes, John, that is true. Of all my athletic achievements, bowling is the cream of the crop.
I tell you what, we're an improvement week. How do you improve on a 300 game?
Well, you have to do it in multiple games in a row. The true beacon of greatness in bowling is to shoot a 900, which is a series, three games, 300 in all of them. That is 36 consecutive strikes. I have not done that. My highest series is an 825. We're going to get back to the drawing board.
Wow.
We're going to get better.
Well, I tell you what, if I were to put you on a lane next to Roy Munson and the Jesus from The Big Lebowski, who would you be most worried about?
Would you be there?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there with the whole gang from The Big Lebowski.
Then it's you.
Your back, man. I got your back. You're on my team. You're on my team. I mean, I won't let you get Munson, and I won't let the Jesus. I will not let him worry you, scare you. You will not be afraid. And just like Coach Carr used to tell us, if you're scared, come stand by me. I'll take care of you.
In that case, I'm not scared of either of them. Bring it on.
All right, let's do it. Hey, we've got 7 for 77. What do we got today?
Yeah, we sure do, John. I asked you this last week after the Wisconsin win. Well, it's a fun tradition. After looking at the tape, do you feel better about the win over Michigan State now than you did Saturday night?
I do, because what I saw on Saturday, and I called the game, and when you call the game, a lot of times you don't see exactly what's going on because you're moving on to the next one, next play, and you don't think about the last play. But my initial reaction on Saturday was I felt our pass protection was very good. I felt our double teams and run blocking were good, which is why Karan had success, especially on the outside. And then defensively, I felt it was a dominating performance from pressuring Lewerke, our secondary, our linebackers running all over the place. And when I watched the film, those things were confirmed. And another thing I really like right now, the level of play from our offensive line. And coming into this season, we talked about the quarterback position and what we were going to expect from Shea Patterson. It was a big question mark because we didn't really know. And when he was at Ole Miss, he had a propensity to turn the ball over. Now we're very confident in his performance. And when I look at this offensive line and I check them out after the game on Saturday, that was a very good front seven for Michigan State. They were rightfully so. The numbers will tell you that they were the number one rush defense in the country. Only, I think it was 66 yards or, you know, give or take a tenth or so of a yard. And to be able to rush for 183 yards against that defense, it took great execution of the game plan. It took great awareness and communication from Cesar Ruiz all the way across the board. And when we get a chance to talk to John Runyon Jr. Later in one of the interviews, he'll talk about the improvement that they had from South Bend and Planet Notre Dame in a hostile environment where the center, when you go silent count, is going to have his head between his legs, and what they did in East Lansing. And I saw that. I saw the communication. I saw them be able to relocate on blitzers. And again, in the run game, it was the same thing. It was able to communicate to make sure that they blocked the most dangerous guys at the point of attack. I thought it was outstanding. So I was very pleased to watch the film before and after.
Something tells me plenty of Michigan fans enjoyed watching some of the replays and the tape from Saturday's game. Let's put the bow on Michigan State with this. Number two, give fans your response and your thoughts to everything that has surrounded the pregame festivities Saturday in East Lansing.
Well, I'll echo exactly what Coach Harbaugh has said. It was a joke. It was an absolute joke to think that they could show up late. We had already given them the respect. They had asked for the field so that they could do their walk. And every university, every football team has little traditions that they hold very dear. And we respected that. We cleared the field at the time that they had wanted. And Brian, you've been around football long enough. I've been around it a long time. On game day, there is no variance from your itinerary, from your schedule that you have had in place for many, many years. And every coach wakes up at the same time. They don't hit the snooze button. They don't, you know, come down to breakfast at a different time. It is all programmed from the moment they wake up to the last whistle of the game. And even after that, with the press conferences and everything that they do after, there's a rhythm and a method that they follow time and time again. So to show up late and say that was your excuse at home, it's not like they got stuck in traffic. It is their home field. They went in and put their helmets on, which they don't normally do. And I can attest to that because I've seen them when I was with the Big Ten Network, and I've seen them do it when we've played them in previous seasons since I've been back at Michigan. They have not come out in their helmets. Maybe they've done it before, but it's not regular for them to do. And for those that didn't see it, what Michigan State does is they lock arms. As you know, at home, there's 110 guys. And they span the football field from sideline to sideline, and they walk from goal line to goal line. And I don't know what it symbolizes. Is, you know, togetherness, team, we're taking over our field, this is ours, whatever. But they do this walk. And in the walk, since they came out late, and I think it was 10 or 15 minutes late, Michigan, we've got to warm up. Our guys have a rhythm as well. And we had allowed them the time allotted to do their walk. They didn't show up, so Michigan took the field. As they're on the field, obviously, if they're locked in arm in arm all the way across the field for 100 yards, there's not much room for anything else. And they got to where our players were and clotheslined a couple of guys, ripped the headphones off another guy. The disappointing part to me, and I've had a lot of respect for Coach D'Antonio. I've said it on our pregame show. I've said it on a lot of different shows. And I was so disappointed that he put Michigan's players in a bad position. But what was even more disappointing to me was that he put his own players in a bad position, because there could have that situation could have become very volatile. And you've got some pushing and shoving, and everybody says, well, that's the rivalry. It is, to a point. But as soon as, and you're talking about 18 to 22 year old kids, you don't know, and D'Antonio did not know if one of the kids was going to throw a punch. As soon as that happens, it becomes extremely ugly. Thank goodness that didn't happen. But the opportunity was there, and he put those kids in a bad situation to make a very good decision. And our guys, I thought Devin Bush and all the guys that were out there made a great decision of not throwing punches, not escalating it any more than it already did. And my hat's off to Coach Harbaugh and his staff for instilling the values of respect and self-control. And it showed before the game. So my hat's off to our guys, and real disappointed very disappointed in Coach D'Antonio. And then the fact that he denied it, it's on film, it's in pictures, it's in photos. Everybody in that stadium at the time, and there wasn't a whole lot of people other than the people on the field and Doug and I in the booth, has a camera in their pocket. He had to have known that there was going to be video of it. And he even referenced it in his post-game press conference. Hey, you know, ask Fox. They've got the video. He was there. He had a smile on his face. That, in my opinion, is embarrassing to the University of Michigan State and their football program.
Yeah, well said, John. Moving on, number three. Now it's a bye week. Coach Harbaugh calls it improvement week. We know you don't like bye weeks, right?
I don't like bye weeks. I like having a schedule. I like having a routine. And you know on Saturdays you're going to play a game. Sundays you're going to come in and watch the film. Mondays you're going to get some of your student stuff done. You probably have a little bit of a workout. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday you got practice. Friday you travel, whether it's to the team hotel or an away game. Saturday you play. Repeat next Sunday. And when you have a bye week, it throws that rhythm off. However, on a bye week, you get a chance to take a look at some young guys. You get a chance to heal up and get some guys back that maybe would have taken a week or two, or if they're going to play hurt, they just have to play hurt the rest of the year. They get a chance to get off their feet, get their legs back underneath them, rest up a little bit, because we got a four-game stretch coming up. Penn State at home, Rutgers on the road, Indiana at home, Ohio. That's a pretty good end of the football season, especially with Penn State and Ohio. We'll talk about Indiana here in a little bit, but I think that this comes at a great time for Michigan. We're coming off we're in the middle of a three-game stretch of Wisconsin at home, Michigan State on the road, Penn State at home, and that's a three-game stretch where at the beginning of the year we're going, man, if we can come out of that, at 1-2 or 2-3, or gosh, it would be awful nice to be 3-0. We have that opportunity. And I'm excited about it. We get a chance to see some young guys this week get out there and practice and improve. And they'll look at the film. They'll get that extra time to look and say, okay, here's what we did good in the first 8 weeks. Here's what we need to improve on. And they'll get a chance to, work on some of those things where, hey, we need to improve, on our third and longs. Or we need to improve in the red zone. We need Quinn Nordine to make his field goals. We need some of these things to happen so that when we do play Penn State, we do play Ohio and Indiana, we're a better team in week 10 than we are at week 8. And that's been the MO of this team. We're much better in week 8 than we were in week 1. I don't think there's anybody across the country that will deny that. And that improvement has to continue whether it's a bye week or not.
Yeah, arguably one of the most improved teams in the country. Number four, John, who are some of the young guys? Give me some individuals who you were watching for who could make a statement and either push for playing time down the stretch this season or really set themselves up going into next year.
Well, I think you look at the quarterback position and you take a look at young Joe Milton. We saw him a little bit against Wisconsin and Dylan McCaffrey as well. We've seen him throughout the year. Those guys are going to get a chance to get some more reps. And during a regular season week, the reps for Joe Milton are going to be zero to none. They're hard to come by. The reps for Dylan McCaffrey are going to be a little bit less than Shea Patterson. In this bye week, it's an opportunity for those guys to, again, gain the rhythm that you have to have at the quarterback position. Handing it off to Omari Samuels, another young guy who's going to get a lot of reps, who we need. Maybe not at the end of this year. It'd be nice to have that depth because we've got, three guys at the top of the depth chart that are performing extremely well, topped off by Caron Higdon. Whether it's at the end of this season or next year, because we're going to lose Caron, we're going to need Omari Samuels to step up and play and get some reps. Aiden Hutchinson on the defensive line. He's been in there with the injury to Rashawn Gary. We've had a lot of guys step in there and play extremely well. Quiddy Pay, Josh Uche. We've had a number of guys play well. Aiden Hutchinson's one of those guys. He just continues to get better every week. The more reps he gets, the better. This week he'll get some more of those reps. Jalen Mayfield. With the departure of James Hudson, he's probably the next guy in. And then you look at Andrew Stuber, Jalen Mayfield, Chuck Filiaga, Spinellis. I mean, you can go right down the list. Those guys have to be ready because we've been very fortunate up to this point to have five guys play every game. At some point, a guy may go down. Jerron Bushel-Beatty went down last week. Andrew Stuber went in, played extremely well at the end of the game. You have to have that if you want to. We can call ourselves a good offensive line, but if you want to be talked about as a great offensive line and have a great tradition, continue the great tradition, you've got to be able to step in there with guys when guys go down to play at a high level.
One more guy I'll throw in there for this improvement week heading into Penn State, Tariq Black.
But yeah, and you know, I was going to mention him. He's just not in my mind, not classifying him as a young guy anymore, but we did see him step on the field. They called a timeout. He ended up coming out. But we will get an opportunity as the season goes on to add him to the mix of a great wide receiving core right now with Donovan Peoples-Jones, Nico Collins, and everybody in that room. You can get him some reps this week too because he's coming off that foot injury. He's going to have to gain confidence in making cuts, taking a hit, doing different things that football players have to do or things that occur in games where he needs to gain that confidence so that he doesn't put himself at further risk. If you go out there tentative because you're worried that, wow, my foot hurts or my foot did hurt, I'm back, I don't want to hurt it again, you play tentative, you really leave yourself open to injury. So Tariq Black and another guy, Quinn Nordine, I mentioned him just a little bit earlier. It's an opportunity for him to get a rhythm and get some reps without and where he can wear out his leg as much as he wants this week because he doesn't have to kick on Saturday. So get out there, find your rhythm, and get your confidence back.
Number five on today's 7 from 77. Your thoughts on James Hudson's transfer and how that affects the offensive line this year and more applicably in the future?
Well, it's disappointing. Anytime you got a guy that has a lot of talent, and James Hudson, don't let anybody tell you different. He's got a lot of talent. He's got all the physical skills in terms of the size, the height, the length, the mobility, the flexibility to be a very good offensive tackle. We made the move to move him from defensive line over to offense last spring, and he's done a great job. Every week I saw improvement from him in his technique and just understanding the offensive game plan and understanding, you know, where he falls in what he's doing as a tackle as it relates to, you know, the rest of the offensive line. And it's disappointing to see a guy, you know, decide to leave the program, especially at this time of year, because let's face it, we're 7-1. We're atop the Big Ten East. We're number 5 in the country. We got a great shot at getting to Indianapolis, getting a Big Ten championship and making a playoff push. There's no advantage to leaving right now. It's not like he can go somewhere this year and play. It's not like he doesn't, you know, have to sit out a year because of transfer rules, and he can play right away. So it's disappointing that he left, and it's doubly disappointed that he left at this time of the year. But looking forward, I really see it's a great opportunity for a guy that we saw step in on last Saturday, Andrew Stuber. I know that he was a guy that they had said was going to factor into, you know, what they wanted to do this football season on the offensive line. He had an injury that kept him out most of training camp, but has done a great job of getting in there and playing extremely well. You know, you look at some of the other guys, Jalen Mayfield, we talked about him, but he's going to be a factor for the next few years at the offensive tackle spot. He moves extremely well. Chuck Filiaga at guard, Spinellis, you know, inside there. So we've got some guys that can go in there and provide depth. The more depth, the better, which is what is disappointing in James Hudson leaving the program, especially at this time.
Andrew Stuber, such a great offensive lineman name.
Yeah, and he's got the lineman mentality too. You know, he doesn't care about anything else. He just wants to play football, which you gotta love. He gets the opportunity to go in there. He's so excited and did very well, especially, you know, at that time of the game. You can go in there and be really aggressive because we're going to be running the football. You know, we're protecting a lead. We're trying to get a couple first downs. You go in there and as Russ Grimm, my offensive line coach with the Washington Redskins, used to say, when in doubt, fire out. You can't be wrong, and did a great job of getting in there and playing and fitting into with the rest of the guys and didn't miss a beat.
All right, number 6, Inside Michigan Football, the radio show on Monday night. Don Brown had this to say.
We've got a big one in 2 weeks against Penn State, and we better keep our focus. You know, when they handed it to us last year, I did a poor job against them, and, you know, obviously – the players feel the same way, and you know, we've got 2 weeks of preparation to get ready and put our best foot forward, and I feel good about us doing that.
So you've had this one circled on your calendar for a while?
Yes.
I know how much Michigan...
In fact, yeah. Just to let you know, I wake up every morning and I think about it.
Honest to God.
Honest.
Thoughts?
I tell you what, I wake up and I think about it too. And so you know Don Brown does. And I think it's awesome that he has that competitive feel for... you know, I went out there and it's not just the players on the field, but it's the coaches. It's the guys that put them in position to make plays. It's the guys that prepare, you know, Devin Bush and Chase Winovich and Rashawn Gary and Michael Dwumfor and, you know, David Long to go out there and be successful. Put them in position where they can't be wrong. They can just go out there and play. And to have a guy that has that competitive fire and feel that, you know what, I didn't do my part last year. Because every guy feels that way. That last year at Penn State, that wasn't Michigan. Even last year, you know, and we're a much better team this year. But last year, we go into that game and we're thinking, yeah, okay, there's still some things that we can do. There's, you know, we have a chance to be in this game. If we can just keep it close, maybe we can win at the end. And they came out and attacked us. And Saquon Barkley is a very good, football player. And he's having a great start to his NFL career. Trace McSorley, very good football player. But what we can do with Penn State this year and what we've done in recent history is exactly what I expect to happen. Michigan is going to have a great game plan. This is a team that lost to Michigan State that we just beat. We only allowed 94 yards of offense. I would expect that this team is going to be motivated to do the exact same thing against the team that put it on us last year.
I just love this so much.
Yes.
That's a dude. That's a yes. Flat-out dude.
So matter of fact.
He is. Mm-hmm. And he calls it the way he sees it. He doesn't mince words. He just says, hey, we're going to go out and fix it.
More times than not, he does. All right, number seven. Last thing on seven from 77. Penn State, Iowa this weekend. Give me a pick and how you think that game could affect what we see next Saturday when Michigan hosts the Nittany Lions.
You know, Iowa is in a great position right now. They have everything to play for on the West side in terms of their Big Ten games. They've lost to Wisconsin, but they've had a good run, and they're at 18 right now. And Iowa City is a very tough place to play. We found that out in 2016. Ohio State found that out last year. And I think, you know, Penn State, they're not going in. That's the one thing that those two games are going to let Penn State know is you cannot go in there and think that you're going to just walk away with a victory. I actually think Iowa takes this game, and Iowa's defense right now is playing extremely, extremely well. Penn State has been a little bit one-dimensional with Trace McSorley. Yes, he can run the ball. Yes, he can throw the ball, but it all centers around him. If you can contain him and you can keep him inside the pocket, make him one-dimensional and throw the football, I like the odds of Iowa coming away with a victory.
So that's today's 7 from 77. We do have some interviews coming up. Good stuff with Tyree Kinnell, Grant Perry, and John Runyon Jr. But it is a bye week and improvement week, so we're going to give John an opportunity, let's say, to improve a little bit on his 10-second timer ability. We'll call it 10 in 10. We're going to get 10 questions or 10 topics to John, and he's going to have to give us a concise, clean, effective, informative answer in 10 seconds. Sound good, John?
That sounds great, but improve. I thought I knocked it out of the park last time. I was on the money.
Only on the Ohio State ones, John.
Well, hey, what do you expect?
Yeah, and if you missed those, it was must-listen stuff. Great content from John on his thoughts on Ohio State on and off the field. So, full disclosure, unveiling the fourth wall, I gave John some of these in advance. I've sprinkled in a few here and there, and I'm not going to give you the order, John. I'm going to make sure you really improve upon this, okay? So, the first one, yeah, I'm going to give you is based on what we just talked about. And that's, you mentioned Iowa's in a good spot. Give me right now your pick to win the Big Ten West.
Oh, I'm going to say Purdue. I think with the way that Rondell Moore is playing, the way DJ Knox is playing and running the football, they're playing at an extremely high level.
Wow. Well done.
Boom. All getting right. Better every week.
This is true. All right. Number two, the Paul Bunyan Trophy.
ugliest trophy in college football, and it needs to stay. It used to be a trophy that was only a locker room trophy. It needs to go back to exactly that.
How about that DPJ pose for the touchdown? That was great.
Oh, it was. Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys are out there having fun, and that's what you want to see from Michigan football players. And when they play their best, they're having fun doing it.
All right, number three on 10 in 10, Devin Bush.
Terrific football player. You know, when you look at him sideline to sideline, attacking the quarterback, attacking the running back, he can do it all.
Wow.
Man, I'm on the money today. I'm in the zone. I'm in the zone. I'm like Michael Jordan right now. Air Jansen. We got to bring it back.
Good branding there. I was hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah, yeah, Air Jansen. I'm still working on my logo.
Oh, gosh, I can't wait. Oh, man. It is going to be something.
That's all you could say. It will be something.
All right, another topic. Going back to Saturday, that weather on Saturday, thoughts?
Oh, it's how football's supposed to be played. Other than the delay, you got rain, you got snow, you got wind. Just hike the ball, hand it off to Caron Higdon, and go out and beat somebody.
All right, we'll count it. Barely inside the buzzer. Shea Patterson.
He's done a great job of managing this offense. The trust between him and the coaching staff continues to grow every week. I love the way that he owns this offense.
I mean, this is impeccable.
Hey, man, I am ready. Like I told you, I'm in the zone, man. The basketball hoop is like 5 yards wide. I can't miss.
I'm going to test you here, John. Nebraska.
Scott Frost, how about getting a Gatorade bath after you've gone 1-6? Hey, good job, Scott Frost. You've won a game. Now maybe you can beat Bethune-Cookman. Maybe he'll get 2 Gatorade baths after they beat Bethune-Cookman. Where is Bethune-Cookman? I love saying it. It's the 2 words, but I don't even know where it is.
We'll get that information for fans in a moment. I just love that right when you started, it was almost like it was a reflex. You just kind of very, very quietly said Scott Frost and then went into your answer.
Yeah. I got to, yeah. It's hey, the savior of Nebraska football is there. And what do we see? Nothing.
Bethune-Cookman is in Daytona Beach, Florida.
Oh, so they're going to go to the beach for the weekend. Good job. Nice job, Scott Frost.
All right. Couple of games to get your thoughts on. Ohio State, Purdue.
Wasn't that a thing of beauty? Disappointed because I wanted Ohio State to be undefeated when we put the smackdown on them. But Purdue, Rondale Moore, my vote for freshman of the year.
Yeah, kid's a stud, no doubt about it. Looking ahead,
what a playmaker.
Yeah. Looking ahead to this weekend, Notre Dame, Northwestern, your thoughts?
You know what? This game, everybody wants to say it's a rivalry. They're, you know what, maybe 45 minutes apart. Notre Dame is going to go in there and take care of business. Northwestern doesn't have the athletes.
Were you working on this over the last month?
No, man. I tell you what, I'm telling you, man. I'm in the zone. Maybe I did set up a clock so I better understood what 10 seconds was, and getting my answers in. I got that little that play clock. I got to get the ball out in 10 seconds. I'm used to 3 to 5 seconds, but I get 10 seconds now, so I'm taking my time, taking a deep breath, getting ready to go.
The problem in the first time you did it was not that you were going too quickly. I can assure you of that.
I was going too long. Got to get it all in, man. Got lots to say. You can't limit me to 10 seconds.
Oh, I can hear. And I want your current playoff top four. If the committee came out with its rankings and you were the committee, who would you have in your top four?
Alabama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3, Michigan 4. Michigan right now, the only one lost team in there, just slightly ahead of LSU because of the defense. We've got a dominating defense that can hold against Alabama.
All right, I'll give you that one.
I had to say it.
Yep, I'll give you that one. That was a longer one. A lot to get in 10 seconds. I like it. Yeah. And then finally,
and I kept us at 4. I got to tell you why I kept us at 4, because I want Alabama. I want to play Alabama so bad. When we play Ohio State, I wanted them to be undefeated, because if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best. And I want them to be at their best. Alabama right now, I don't think there's anybody that would argue that Alabama is the top team in the country. If they're 1 and we're 4, we get Alabama in the first round. Time to stake our claim.
Michigan's defense against Tua, that'd be awesome.
Oh, be beautiful. Don Brown, get those guys. We'd have 11 dudes running around. Be awesome.
The last one on 10 in 10. If you could only pick one candy to give away or to consume on Halloween, what would it be?
Oh, that's an easy one. Peanut butter. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It's the greatest candy in the world. You got peanut butter, chocolate, all yummy. They got new ones with little peanut crisps in them. It's awesome.
What's your favorite Reese's?
Peanut butter cups. Just the generic peanut butter cups. Put those in the freezer. You pull it out with a glass of milk, and you got yourself an unbelievably great treat. I could argue it's healthy, too.
Okay.
But I don't think we have enough time on this podcast for me to make that argument.
You have 10 seconds. Go.
Yeah. Hey, it's peanut butter. Nuts are supposed to be healthy. Chocolate, you get your milk, you get your dairy, you get it's an antioxidant. You're ready to go. Time to spare.
Surprised you didn't start eating a Reese's cup.
I got them right here.
Oh, man, I'm jealous. All right, we've got some good interviews. Let's talk some football, John.
Oh, I can't wait to hear for everybody to hear these guys. We got Tyree Cannell, Captain Tyree, Grant Perry, wide receiver, senior from the state of Michigan, Brother Rice, so he understands what it means to play in the game that we just played in last week. And John Runyon Jr. is talking about the growth of this offensive line. And like I mentioned before, he's going to tell you the growth that they've had from going from South Bend to East Lansing. All of this is going to be great stuff. We'll be back to answer some questions, but let's hand it over to the players. Tyree Kinnell joins us on In the Trenches. Captain Kinnell, we haven't talked since we went to the Big Ten meetings. You're a little bit more than halfway through the season. You got a bye week. How do you feel your season personally has gone so far?
I feel like it's going well. Personally, I feel like I got off to a slow start. But I've been getting better each week. Been trusting my coaches, been trusting myself, my instincts, and just taking all the coaching I can and getting better.
Where have you seen the biggest improvement on Saturdays?
Just playing with confidence and, playing fast and playing hard.
When you look at what this defense can do in the last 4 weeks of the season, and you guys are at the top of almost every defensive category in the Big Ten, how could you possibly improve for the last 4 weeks? Where could you see improvement happening with Penn State, Indiana, Rutgers, and Ohio coming up?
You know, with all the categories that we're leading in the country, you can always find something to improve. You're never perfect, but we just try to come out every week and just focus on each other and trust each other as a unit on a defense and execute the game plan as the best we can. With these last four games, we just want to do the same thing and try to improve and get better every week.
You talk about executing a game plan last week against Michigan State. I don't know that it could have been executed any better. What's it feel like? First of all, what was the locker room like after the game?
The locker room was great. Everyone was excited. Everybody was happy for each other. It was just a happy moment for the whole program of University of Michigan, and I know our fans felt the same way. It was a very big win for us.
And moving forward, how do you keep that? How do you bottle up that emotion, that momentum, knowing you've got a bye week? How do you keep that momentum going through this bye week?
Our confidence level is extremely high right now, and that's the good thing. And we're just going to feed off our confidence and feed off the momentum that we've been doing. We're going to take this week very seriously to get better, to get some rest, and jump on Penn State early.
And I brought up Chicago earlier, and it was yourself, Chase Winovich, and Caron Higdon that went to the Big Ten meetings, and you guys all talked about the tough schedule, opening up against Notre Dame, and then you all referenced this three-game stretch of having Wisconsin at home, Michigan State on the road, and then Penn State. It's got to be a special feeling knowing that you're two-thirds of the way through that tough stretch and you're 2-0 right now. Mm-hmm. What do you guys have to do to get to 3-0 in this stretch?
The good thing is we got out of these three games, two of them home, and we love playing at home, feeding off our energy, and we already got two of the three done. So just take this week and get a jump start on Penn State. This is a great time for us because we just got out of two great games and two tough games against good opponents. Now we get to get an extra week to jump on another good team at home. So we're excited and we can't wait to go get it done.
A lot of young guys will get a lot of reps this week. What is it that you can do to help those guys so that whether they're on the field this year or next year, they can get better this week?
This is a big week for the younger guys. As I went my freshman year, I took this week very seriously to get better. The bye week and the prep for the bowl game is always big weeks for the younger guys to get better, to get reps, to get, you know, the coaches to look at them even more. You know, it's kind of tough for the coaches to look at the younger guys during the season with everything going on. So this is very big. I just try to tell them just to compete, play hard, and just do your assignments the right way.
The bullseye on Michigan when teams play us has always been pretty big. But you sit atop the Big Ten East. You're number five in the polls. That bullseye gets bigger. How do you guys handle the pressure?
It's definitely going to get bigger. You know, like you just said, all that. We know we're number one in the Big Ten now. We're number five. But we felt like we've always had that bullseye, and we're out to, you know, to beat people. You know, all these teams that beat us last year, we're out to go to get them back this year. And that's how we look at it. We look at it as Penn State beat us last year, so we got to get them back and beat them. So, I mean, we just try to get better as a team every week.
When I saw it come out, I was upset. How do you guys feel about being five instead of in the top four?
I mean, people have different opinions about it. As you said, you felt upset about it. But, I mean, it's just – I mean, the playoffs don't start next week. So, we still got four games to go. Other teams have to play each other. You know, we still have a big one in November against Ohio State, obviously. So, the rankings right now, it's going to take care of itself if we keep winning.
What would it mean we take care of business the next 3 weeks to be able to get to Ohio State – with a 10-1 record?
I mean, I just keep thinking like 2 years back when we went into Columbus with just one loss, and you know everything that was at stake for that game and how big it was, and how everything went down in that game. That's what I keep thinking of right now. But not try to get too ahead of myself. If that does happen, we just got to finish now. You know, we didn't finish in 2016. Now we got everything done. Now we just got to finish.
Any lessons that you remember from that season to that might help pay off as you try and get to 10-1? Not about that Ohio State game, but as you try and get to 10-1.
I mean, I feel like we have a lot of similarities to that team in 2016. They, you know, they were good on defense and offensively. I mean, I feel a lot of similarities. If I could try to take one thing, it's just to trust each other more down the stretch in the bigger games.
You got some time off.
Yep.
What are you going to do with all this extra free time?
Oh, man. I think I'm going to do a little bit more homework than usual. I'm definitely going to relax and, you know, chill and watch some film on Penn State. And then I'm going to get home this weekend and spend some time with my family and maybe go watch my high school team play.
Okay. Will you watch any college football on Saturday?
Yeah, I definitely will. You know, it's kind of hard watching on Saturdays when you're playing, especially you got like that 4 to 5 hour block where you're focused on your game. But I'll definitely watch some college football and watch some games. I love watching it. So it'd be a good time.
I appreciate you stopping by. Thanks for joining us. Good luck the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Grant Perry joins us for the first time on In the Trenches. Thanks for having. Thanks for coming by.
Glad to be here. Glad to be on the show.
When you look at what the receivers have been able to do this year, you know, we talked about it's been a long time since we had a receiver touchdown, since they've been a big part of this offense. Where have you seen the biggest improvement from your group this season?
I definitely just say the maturity. The guys are picking up the playbook really well, and the camaraderie with the quarterback. You know, Shea, great addition to the team, great leader. And then we're finding plays to make, and we're making them this year. You know, I think that was a big difference. You know, we were either, you know, a few yards short of a catch, you know, in the previous years, but you know, we're changing that, and it's going really well.
A great example is you had a first down catch in the third quarter where you were in that trips formation, and you know, Donovan ran a couple of guys off and created some space for you. What's the chemistry that you guys have developed been like, and I think it shows in plays like that.
Yeah, I think we really come together as a group. You know, last year, you know, we were close, but this year I've really seen a big difference in, you know, the way the guys play together. You know, way that we're off the field, how we, you know, we just were able to get along with each other really well. We know each other really well, and I contribute that a lot to Coach McElwain. You know, he does a great job bringing us together. You know, beginning of the year, he had us all stand up and say something we didn't know about each other, or say something we didn't know about ourselves, and that just kind of icebreaker, you know, to help us get to know each other even more.
And you talk about Coach Jim McElwain, new wide receivers coach. What else has he brought to not just the wide receiver group, but, you know, being a coordinator, being a head coach? What has he brought to the team?
Yeah, you know, the guys, we didn't really know what to expect when we saw that he was coming in, and, you know, and we're all really happy he's here. He's a great guy. He makes it really easy, you know, being in that room. He makes our job a lot easier than it has been in the past, you know, whether it's, you know, play length, play calls, or just our job overall. And, you know, he makes it easy. You know, we don't really get yelled at that much. He just, you know, kind of just tells us what to do, and we do it.
You're a guy that grew up in the state of Michigan. What did that win last week mean for you?
Man, it meant the world, man. I grew up, going to, Michigan State parties, playing with my friends, being able to argue, say, oh, Michigan's better this, Michigan's better that, went to school with a lot of Michigan State guys now. And just to be able to have those bragging rights, for the year, it's all world.
It never goes away. I mean, that's bragging rights for the rest of your life.
Yeah, true.
When you look at, again, the production that the receivers have had, I also see the production our running backs have had. And one of the things I love about our wide receiver group and our tight ends, I'll include them in that, is when one of you guys catches the ball, you immediately turn around and start blocking. When Karan has the ball or Chris Evans or True, you guys are digging out those safeties. How important or where did that come from? Because I haven't seen that as much in the past.
Yeah. I think, a big emphasis, on Coach Warner and Coach Mack's part, just finding the block, because, they emphasize you never know which block is going to be a touchdown block. We got a lot of guys that are shifty and break a lot of tackles, so you don't want to be the guy on film that, misses the touchdown block, and I'm sure you know that.
Yes.
We just pride ourselves, in hustle plays as well, playing without the ball.
When you look at the potential that this team has, you're sitting atop the Big Ten East. You're number five in the country. How much added pressure is that when you go out to practice or when you show up, in a couple of weeks against Penn State? Do you guys feel it? Is that something that's palpable?
There's always pressure with everything. Being the number five team in the country, it brings its pressure. It brings its, its warranted pressure, of course. But, we're just going to keep attacking each day, how we have in the past. And, personally, I've been here before. We were five or six 2 years ago when we were going into Columbus. So I know what it feels like. I know what we have to do, to keep moving forward and reach our goals. So I'm just going to try to instill that into the guys that, weren't here. And just trying to try to keep doing the same thing.
2016, you mentioned it. We ended up 10-1 going into that Ohio State game. Right now, obviously, 7-1. What are some of the lessons that you learned in that season that will help you guys try and, first of all, get to 8-1?
Yeah, it starts with the next game. We gotta get over this Michigan State. This win we just had. It was really good, but our goals are still in front of us. This bye week is gonna be nice. Help the guys. Rehab a little bit, get off their feet. And then it's on to Penn State. They're a good team. And we know that from past. And, we can't afford, to go in there and play like we did against Iowa and back in 2016 when they stole one from us. So it comes down to that.
When you look back to the Penn State game last year, how much does that irritate you and motivate you to play against Penn State next week?
I mean, we can't wait. And I know the defense is really hungry. They had a heck of a game last year, the whiteout at night. As Chase said, the revenge tour continues. So we're looking forward to it and can't wait to get after it.
I've asked all the guys on the show today what they're going to do on the bye week with some extra time. We've heard, watch football, hang out with friends, play video games. What's Grant Perry going to do when he gets a little time off?
A little time off. I might try to get back home. Might try to make it to the Brother Rice game. I know they got a playoff game. I'm not sure who they play, though. Other than that, probably some video games as well, some Call of Duty or something like that.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
John Runyon Jr. joins us now on In the Trenches. John, coming off a big win against Michigan State. How's it feel?
There's no better feeling, really. It's a rival game for the Paul Bunyan Trophy, and we went into this, we were going to go into their stadium and we were going to do our thing and we were going to come out with that trophy, and that's what we ended up doing. And, just looking back, watching film, just have this overwhelming sense of pride in what we accomplished Saturday, and it's awesome.
Well, and part of what you guys accomplished, you were going against what was supposed to be the number one defense against the run in the country, mm-hmm. and you got Karan Higdon another 100-yard game, and really, it felt from the booth like you guys could do just about anything you wanted. It had to be a great feeling.
Yeah, we had a great game plan going in. We knew exactly what they wanted to do. Their favorite blitz was the linebacker cross up the middle, and we had fall break this week, so we got to spend some extra time watching film and game planning against them. And we went into the game knowing what we wanted to run against them and how to pick up versus certain blitzes. And, what worked out really well, Karan got his 100 yards again. I think it's the sixth consecutive game.
Seven.
I can't keep track now, but yeah.
So many.
Yeah. He's doing his thing out there, and glad to come out top.
when you look at the progress this offensive line has had, especially coming into this season, so many people were talking about two things, Shea Patterson and our offensive line. How proud are you of that group in the O-line room to be doing what you're doing right now?
Yeah, it's unbelievable from where we started, you know, week one, obviously not where you wanted to be. And to see, you know, where we're at right now and how everybody's playing their best football right now across the board from left to right. And it's really awesome going in the film room on Mondays with the whole offensive line and watching how well guys are playing and how well that we're passing off blitzes and picking up other blitzes too. And, you know, it's just really awesome. And it gives you like an amazing feeling.
How much confidence did you guys have coming out of that Wisconsin game? Because that was really the first game when we had played somebody that of notable defense. You know, you guys did great against Maryland and Nebraska, but everybody said, well, the opponent is the question mark. You play against Wisconsin, you rush for over 300 yards. That had to add some confidence to that room.
Yeah, you know, every week it's something else. You know, playing Maryland, Maryland had a really good defense, play them. You hear that, oh, like, wait till we play a real defense, play Wisconsin, knock them off. And then people are like, oh, wait until they play on the road against a ranked opponent, number one rush defense in the country. And then what happened on Saturday, you know, just a testament to our work as a offensive line and as a unit and team, totally. So, you know, that's just really something special. And carry that into the bye week, you know, get better, get rested over the bye week, and carry that into Penn State and finish out this next stretch.
You sound a little annoyed as to why people won't believe that this is a good offensive line. What do you feel you have to do, or do you feel that win against Michigan State justifies saying now that this is a good offensive line?
I mean, we've always believed that we are a good offensive line. Whether or not people want to like Marcus has a good offensive line, you know, I don't really care about it, you know, but like we see it all the offensive linemen see it everywhere. You know, we're not really out there to just get other people's approval. We're just trying to do our thing every weekend and, you know,
rack up the wins.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. Rack up the wins, rack up the yards, rack up the points.
We all talked about this tough schedule. You know, you're at South Bend, you're at Michigan State, you're at Ohio, the home games, you've got Wisconsin, Penn State. We're in a three-game stretch here where we had Wisconsin at home, Michigan State on the road, and we've got Penn State. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're 2-0 in that. What do you have to do in this bye week to prepare for Penn State?
Definitely getting up, getting rested, obviously. And, you know, we have this bye week, so we got extra time. We can get ahead on Penn State, so that's really something helpful. That's what really helped us against Michigan State. We had fall break, got some time off from school, and we were able to really watch film and develop that game plan pretty strong. And having this extra week to prepare for Penn State, you know, that's going to be really helpful into, you know, hopefully doing the same thing that we were able to do against Michigan State.
How are you physically? You know, you're 8 games into it. I remember being offensive lineman. It was, you know, it's either a finger or it's an ankle or it's something. How are you physically right now?
I feel fine. You know, just kind of muscles aching, but that's just with just going on this season and just wear and tear. But, you know, Michigan State, that was probably one of the most physical games that we played all year. And our linebackers coming downhill, they got some big bodies up front. But I'll get rested up for Penn State.
How much do you feel the work that you guys put in with strength coach Ben Herbert in the offseason is really paying off right now?
Yeah, in the offseason, he's really big into what he calls tempering the muscles with weighted rollers. And, you know, I feel so good for being, you know, week 8 into the season and going in the bye week, just keep at that and push through this next 4 games, hopefully 6. So,
you're right, hopefully 6. When you look at where the offensive line has gotten to with the performance that you guys had against Michigan State, where are some areas that you can see still continuing to improve when you play Penn State or Indiana, Rutgers, or Ohio?
I think sometimes going back and watching the film, there's just one guy. I mean, there's always one guy that just missed the block a little bit, could have done a better job in his block, and would have sprung like a big play. And I think just kind of limiting those little plays that there's just one guy away from springing a big play. If we can limit how many there were in Michigan State and with games before, if we can limit those and, you know, get nice big chunk plays, that'll be really helpful going down the stretch.
And without jinxing you guys, you've been fairly healthy as a unit. Mm-hmm. How important has it been, or you know, how have you been able to develop the chemistry with you specifically with Ben Bredesen playing every snap together in practice and in games, where are you guys at in terms of your communication and the ability to play next to each other?
Yeah, you know, me and Ben playing next to each other for a couple of years, you know, in practice and everything, and I've seen going to Michigan State's really loud and everything, obviously, and me and him kind of just have this nonverbal communication. Like, we'll kind of just look at each other, or like he'll look at something and I'll see it out there. Because sometimes it's kind of hard to hear, obviously, when you're at Michigan State. That place is pretty loud in the first half. And yeah, our communication's been awesome. He's really helpful on blocks and everything. It's nice having the captain of Michigan football next to you. And yeah, it's just been good working with him.
You talk about the communication. And one of the things I noted after the Notre Dame game was, you know, Cesar Ruiz makes a lot of the calls, but half of the game, or more, you know, three quarters of the game, he's got to spend it with his head between his legs. Yeah. What have you guys done differently when you got to Michigan State in terms of communication to improve that, so that when his head's between his legs, are the calls coming from tackles, from guards, or from anybody who sees it?
No, like, yeah, a great example using the silent cadence against Michigan State, Cesar put his head down, and as soon Michigan State knew as soon as Cesar put his head down, that's when they would show their hand and show their blitz. Cesar put his head down on that first touchdown, and linebacker walked outside. We were five-man protection, and we were sliding the other way. And once that linebacker did that, I mean, I alerted Ben, and Cesar with his head down, Ben told Cesar that we're sliding the other way, and he told the right side that there was money on the backside, and we were able to pick out that protection, and Shea threw an amazing ball for a touchdown. And, you know, it's kind of those things that maybe we didn't have the first week against Notre Dame, and that communication, something that was really nice, because if Ben wouldn't have changed the protection, we probably would have got a nice strip sack off the backside without Shea seeing that. Yeah, no touchdown. And that touchdown was pretty pivotal in the game.
It was the drive coming out of the break as well. Break. I mean, you had the rain delay. What were you guys doing in the locker room during that rain delay?
I mainly was just laying down. I just had my head on. I was laying on the floor, head on the towel, and we were just talking about some things that we've seen. We ran one play. They brought two guys off the edge, and they stopped us for, I think, 1 yard. And we were just going through some plays as an offensive line unit, talking. Coach Warner came over. We were talking about what plays were looking good, how pass protection was holding up, what plays we wanted to run against them going forward. And we had a good plan coming out of the rain delay. I think we started the 2nd and 7, drove down the whole field. We had that whole series mapped out pretty much, and it worked out well. It was like a
second opening drive.
Yeah, it was.
You know, you talk about Ed Warner and making those adjustments. How receptive has he been when you come to the sidelines of asking, hey, you know, I can see this going on from the sidelines, but what are you guys seeing on the field in terms of in-game adjustments? Has that been a big part of the success of this offensive line?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, kind of it's like crazy because Coach Warner schemes up every play in practice, every blitz. He knows what the defense is going to do when we change the strength of the formation. And, you know, basically everything that we prepared for happened, and it did happen. And, you know, just having Coach Warner like as an asset to this offensive line and this offense totally has just been immensely helpful. I mean,
he's got a lot of experience.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he knows what he's doing for sure. And, you know, it's really helpful going out there. Like, you know what's going to happen. Like, you know what they're going to do as their adjustment. And we're able to make some good plays off of it.
So you guys are, when you get out there and movement happens or blitz happens, you're blocking it and it's like you've seen it before.
Yeah, exactly.
When you get this time off, you know, for a couple of days during the bye week, what are you going to do? What's when you have no football to do, if you got all your studies done, what are you going to do?
I like to rest up a lot, you know, live in a house with five other guys on the team. We like to play a lot of video games together and against each other. So
what's your favorite video game?
Right now, that new Call of Duty came out, so my whole house has been playing that. So we're going to get after that this next few days.
Who wins?
Jordan Glasgow is pretty good. He's a lot better than me, obviously. I'm more of a recreational player. He's a pretty hardcore gamer.
He's a professional, eh?
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, enjoy the Call of Duty. And any football on Saturday? You going to watch some games? Or?
Yeah, I'm planning on watching some games. It'd be nice to sit back and watch some of my friends play that I haven't been able to watch. So, definitely.
Well, enjoy some time off and get after it at Penn State.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Well, as always, I want to thank the guys for stopping by. Tyree Cannell started us off, Grant Perry, and then we finished up with Big John Runyon Jr. Love talking about the offensive line. We always save the best for last. But before we get away today, Brian, let's answer some of the questions the fans tweeted in and emailed and texted us.
Yeah, we really appreciate everyone doing that. As always, you can get in your questions at JohnJansen77 on Twitter. You can email. That's MichiganWolverinesRadio@gmail.com. And we've got the text line as well, 734-328-1760. Justin chimed in on Twitter. John, were you ever involved in an altercation before a rivalry game? And if so, how did it affect the locker room environment before the game?
No, you know, I've never had anything like that happen. And I've been on the field. I usually go on the field a long time before the game starts. I've been out there. There's always been a matter of respect, whether it's Ohio State, whether it's Michigan State, whether it's Notre Dame. And in the NFL, we had when I was with the Redskins, our big rival obviously was the Dallas Cowboys. Never had anything happen like that before the game, which is why I was so surprised that Mark D'Antonio manufactured the event that happened before the game, and disappointed, really disappointed. So I don't know that it added anything or any fire to our guys, because when you go into a game like that, you don't need any extra motivation. It's already the backyard brawl. It's already Michigan, Michigan State. It's bragging rights for the whole year. It's the state championship. You don't need to manufacture some confrontation before the game.
Dave on Twitter, any chance of a letdown against Penn State, or is this team so dialed in right now it's not a concern?
Absolutely not, and I will reference the audio that we heard earlier from Don Brown. Don Brown's ready to go. These players are ready to go. They understand the opportunity, the rare opportunity that they have, and it's been a long time since Michigan has been 8 weeks into the season and been atop the Big Ten. We have not been atop the Big Ten East, and when you look at what is to come, Penn State, Rutgers, Indiana, Ohio, the players can see what the possibilities are. They can feel what the possibilities are. And that feeling and that sight will allow them to continue the momentum from big wins against Wisconsin, Michigan State, through the bye week, all the way to kickoff at 3:45 in the Big House against Penn State.
Are you ready, Don Brown?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I think I like your yes a little more.
Oh, man, I can't wait. I mean, Trace McSorley, James Franklin, they're coming to town. James Franklin, I cannot wait. He's going to have his pom-poms on. He's going to have his head glossed up and nice and shiny, his little geeky glasses on. And we are going to just destroy everything that Penn State came in to try and do.
Head glossed up is amazing.
Hey, put a polish on it. He's going to need it.
So you and James are going to go off for a nice dinner Friday night, right?
Yeah, hey, my treat. More than happy to take him out. I'd love to take him out after the game, too, but he'll probably have his tail between his legs heading back to State College.
Boom. Frank via email. As well as the University of Michigan is progressing as a team, their third and long efficiency on offense is poor. What's going on and what can be done to reverse that trend?
Well, the best thing to be done is don't get in third and long. Be better on first and second down. And we've been pretty good on those downs. We haven't had as many third and longs as we had in the past. What we have to do is we have to shore up our pass protection, allow Shea Patterson just a little bit more time to sit back there, let our receivers get downfield, get open, and deliver the football. We also need to allow Shea Patterson to get outside the pocket a little bit more in those situations. I think when he gets on the run, it does two things. It extends the play and gives those receivers more time. It also it clears up the picture for him. He doesn't have to look over those offensive linemen. He doesn't have to try and find a throwing alley. He can get out there and make the play that has to be made. And we've also seen he can make that play with his feet as well. And I don't care if it's 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 15. That's a play that is in his repertoire that he can make, whether it's through the air or on the ground. So those are some of the things that I would work on in this bye week to be better at 3rd and long.
Scott via Twitter, how can we keep our aggressive defensive mindset while not turning our backs on a mobile quarterback like Trace McSorley in man press coverage?
Well, you know, you've got man press coverage, and that's going to cover, you know, three guys, maybe four guys on the outside. You've got seven other guys that are keyed into exactly what, you know, you're talking about, keeping Trace McSorley in the pocket. And it comes down to the rush lanes of those guys that are tasked with rushing the quarterback. If you're going to rush four, your defensive ends have to be upfield. They have to pursue from there, and your defensive tackles have to push the pocket. All right, you've got to make it like a room that where all the walls are starting to close in, and your defensive ends do that from the side, and your defensive tackles do that from the front. If you can keep him in that pocket, now all of a sudden you'll see him. You talk about a quarterback dancing around. He's dancing around because he's got nowhere to go and nowhere to throw the ball. That's how you keep a mobile quarterback like that in the pocket, and it's rush lanes. And then you throw in the fact that you've got Devin Bush, you've got Devin Gill, Josh Uche. You got guys that have speed at that linebacker position. So as soon as if he does break contain, then you can get out there and wrap him up and get him.
Jackson on Twitter, seeing how much of a pass teams get for being undefeated while scheduling nobody, Bama, Clemson, etc., do you think Michigan should schedule cupcakes to start the season in non-conference play?
I don't think so. I think the trend, I know that there are some cupcakes that are on the schedule, but when you look at a resume and you put together what the College Football Playoff Committee will be looking at here in another week, next Tuesday is when they start making their picks. And start ranking teams. They will look at Michigan's schedule. And the only loss that Michigan has right now is against undefeated Notre Dame. That means a lot more than it does than a win against a Bethune-Cookman, just because they're on my mind right now. That it would mean a lot more to have a loss, a one-score loss, than it would be to have a win against a lesser opponent. So, yeah, Michigan, you can't go wild and crazy and schedule three teams that are, ranked in the top five. That's not going to happen. But you want to have one or two games, especially as you tune up for the Big Ten season, the Big Ten East. You cannot have three cupcakes and be ready to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State. Well, we've got Wisconsin on the schedule for the foreseeable future. You've got to be able to be ready for your league. And if you win the Big Ten, you will be in the conversation for a playoff spot.
Interesting stat. Power five conference teams that are 12-1 are 13-13 in getting into the playoff.
It can be done. It will be done. It'll be done again this year. And especially when you look at, they're not going to take a team out of the Pac-12. They're terrible. They may take a team out of the Big 12, but again, it's not going to be a great team, as we saw against for Oklahoma last year. They had a great player I don't even remember his name, but he won the Heisman Trophy. I don't even care what his name is. Baker Mayfield, fine. But they got into the playoffs, and because they play no defense in the Big 12, they had no hope of winning that game. It's just when you play a team from the SEC, or you play a team from the Big Ten, or even if Clemson comes out of the ACC, you're talking about teams that play very good defense, and you can't just outscore somebody. You've got to be able to play defense.
Michigan's loss to Notre Dame, that and LSU's loss to Florida, those are the two quote-unquote best losses in the country. You can overcome those.
You can definitely overcome those. And when you talk about looking forward as to Michigan's opportunity to be in the college football playoffs, if Michigan wins out, they're going to be in, because LSU is not going to win out. They're on a bye week this week, and so is Alabama. And then next week, when we play Penn State, the big matchup that day isn't going to be Michigan-Penn State. It is in our world, but the big matchup is going to be LSU and Alabama, and it's going to be in Tiger Stadium, but it is down in the bayou. It may be hard to play, but they do not have the team that could compete with Alabama. They don't have the defense. And when I talk about our matchup with Alabama, the reason I'm excited about that is because Alabama's strength is offense. Our strength is defense. I love that matchup. Alabama doesn't have the steel curtain that they used to have. I like the fact that we've gained confidence against Wisconsin. We gained confidence running the football against both Wisconsin and Michigan State. We've got a very well-balanced offense. I like the matchup between Michigan and Alabama. I don't like the matchup between LSU and Alabama.
All right. Well, again, thanks to everybody who weighed in on Twitter, email, or text. John, we've made it a bit of a habit giving folks a little bit of a locker room speech heading into that weekend's game. There is no game, so can you pump up folks for the bye week?
Absolutely. I mean, get in your seats because you're going to watch some great college football. You won't be able to watch the greatest team in the country, but the greatest team in the country is going into their bye week at 7-1. We've got 7 wins in a row. We've got come from behind wins coming from 17 down in Evanston. We've got wins against Wisconsin, who they thought they had the greatest running back in the country, and maybe they do, but not against the Michigan defense. We went into East Lansing where, oh, they've got the greatest defense in the country. You can't run against them. What are you talking about? We ran for 183 yards. We owned that game. They had 94 yards of total offense. When you sit there this week, just think how sweet it is and the matchups that you could put together when Alabama takes the field or when LSU or Notre Dame. Think about Notre Dame again. Notre Dame, they're going to finish the season with USC, and I would love for us to be able to get another shot at them in the playoffs. So just dream about the possibilities that are to come. Penn State next week, they're coming to the Big House. They've got no shot. They've got Trace McSorley. They've got a cheerleader for a coach. We're going to put it to them. Then we're going to go to Rutgers. And at Rutgers, you're going to see a record broken. Last time a running back ran for 100 yards for 8 consecutive games, Caron Higdon's going to do that against Penn State. He's going to break that record against Rutgers because they may be the birthplace of college football, but they no longer play competitive football in Piscataway. Then we're going to come back. We're going to play against Mike DeBoard and Mike Hart for Indiana. A couple of Michigan legends coming back, and we're going to take it to them. And Indiana, some call it a trap game, not for this team. This team, see, Michigan's football team right now, they see the opportunity that they have. They're not going to let anybody come into our house and think that they can get anything done against us, and then we get a chance to go down to Columbus. South till you smell it, east till you step in it. That's the directions to Columbus, and we're going to go in there and get a big win. So rest up this week because we got 4 weeks coming that are going to be extremely exciting, and it's going to be a championship for Michigan. We're going to have all of that coming up in the next 4 weeks on In the Trenches.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of In the Trenches with John Jansen. In the Trenches with John Jansen is an exclusive presentation of IMG, America's home for college sports.